But this morning starts our four-week series of our vision of New Beginnings Church. Who are we? What are we doing? What are we doing here? And who are we going to become? Well, I think that journey has already started. It's not about becoming something new. It's about living into the voice of who God has been calling us to be from the very beginning of time. To me, it's been helpful to think about this lesson, this story time, in terms of success. Because which one of us doesn't want to be a success? In fact, I would venture to say that all of us, in some form or fashion, are shaping our lives around what we determine or define as successful. Either we're marching towards what we're hoping to be successful, or we're wallowing in despair because we're not being what we think is successful. If we could chart success, if success could be put on a graph and charted, I think it would look like this. It would look like an arrow that moves from the bottom up and to the right. In fact, a lot of culture, a lot of organizations, and even corporate America has shaped our minds to think about success in this way. It's constant growth. It's constant expansion. It's always moving upward and onward. In my life, I draw on the example of Ben Zobrist. Not necessarily because I'm a super fan of Ben Zobrist, but because I went to college with Ben Zobrist at a small school. I had Bible study with Ben Zobrist. There was a time in my life where in the same room there was 12 people and Jake Edwards and Ben Zobrist stood side by side. It was at that time in my life that the only thing I wanted to be was a left fielder for the Chicago Cubs. Ben Zobrist stood in my way of being the left fielder. I had no idea. He was just a scrawny little kid that all the girls loved and I couldn't see why. I see why now. I get it now. I didn't get it then. In fact, I wasn't going to tell you the story, but I'm going to tell you anyways. Jenny, make it awkward. There was a girl that I had a crush on that also had a crush on Ben. Her name was Jamie. At the end of my freshman year, Ben made his announcement that he'd be transferring to Dallas Baptist University to pursue baseball. And Jamie also announced that she would be transferring from Olivet to Dallas Baptist to chase Ben. If you're keeping up with the news, Ben's wife's name is not Jamie, so it didn't work out for her, but she did it, and that was my love of my life at that point. And so Jamie leaves me, I had no shot, Jamie leaves me to travel towards Ben. My only dream in life was to be the left fielder for the Chicago Cubs, so you can imagine my raging disappointment this fall when I turn on my favorite team. The Cubs are playing in the one place they don't belong, the World Series. I've been dreaming my whole life of this moment. And guess who's starting in left field and has stolen my girl? He took my life. His life. I didn't know it then. But now, I think about Ben, who we stood in Bible study together. He wouldn't know who I am today, but there was a time where we were in the same room together. And his life looks like this, and My life, if I'm being honest about my life, it doesn't really look like this. I'm sure Ben's life doesn't look like this either, but I'm tempted to think of his life like this. I'm tempted to try to model my life to where it will look like this. Instead, Oscar, my life looks like this. What? And your life looks like that? Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm talking about, Oscar. When we expect our lives to look like upward and right, our lives end up looking like Oscar's scribbles on the whiteboard. They look like a royal mess. Here, Oscar, I'm going to hang on to that. Thank you for helping me out this morning. I knew the moment I decided to do a whiteboard on Family Sunday, I knew this was an open invitation for all kids to come and scribble. I think if we're being honest about our life stories, we would all say that we have some expectation that our life would look like a graph that takes off to instantaneous success. And our lives are constantly growing and expanding, reaching uncharted territories. And stories in which we could be proud and post on Instagram about how well that we are doing and how good our lives look. But if John were being fully honest with our stories, I'm not sure any of us in this room, especially on this day, would feel like we're trending successes. We may resonate more with a chart that's kind of up and down. And when our charts are up and down, our lives as charted are up and down, we tend to ask a common question. Where is God in a life that doesn't look like what Joel Osteen says our lives should look like? What happens when all these messages of a life lived in Christ will be a life that's constantly happy, and our lives are not constantly happy, but our lives are up and down, ebbs and flows? Where is God in a chart that looks like the one here on your right more than the one here on your left? I would tell you this morning, if we were to start the story of God for New Beginnings Church, if we were to start this story from the very beginning, I would tell you that God is in love with ebbs and flows. That God, Bible scholar Cindy would tell you that God's own story looks more like this than it looks like this. In God's own story, the trending upward and rightward happens for two chapters. And then for 65 books and 90% of the other one, it looks like this. Where there's one story of great success followed by 15 stories of great disappointment. Where do we find God when things are a lot more messy than what we perceive success to be like? How do we define success for God's story that is constantly up and down? What remains for God's story, even in the high moments and low moments, is that the one constant is that God remains faithful, that God does not leave. See, what's fascinating about the biblical story is that when Mount Sinai happens, and it's on the top of a mountain, and it's beautiful, and it's glorious, and God comes in a cloud, and they celebrate because of God's presence, that God is also there and present with them in the very next story, where there's images of a cow made out of gold, and there's idolatry, and they're in their lowest moment. God is both with them in the mountain moment, and God is with us both in the idolatry moment. In the moment in which we embrace God, God is there. And the moment in which we deny God, the one constant that doesn't change is that God is there. You see, about the ebbs and flows of God's story is that God is in it all, bringing all of these moments, whether they're mountaintop moments or they're Sheol depths of the earth moments, that God gathers up both the ebb and the flow, and he brings them into himself. Here is the story of God, as quickly as I can tell it with our waning attention spans this morning. The story of God is that he's restoring all things, the lives that look like Ben Zobrist and the lives that look like Jake Edwards. He loves equally those failures like myself and those successes of people like Ben who stole my life. He gathers up all, right? And Ben's life doesn't look like this. We know that, right? No one's life looks like this. God is far more human than that. Okay.
So did you name Ben after Ben?
I did. I named my son after Ben Zobrist. Not at all. Not even close. No, that's not true. I hope somehow he does not listen to this. Okay. If there's three characteristics of God's story that I could name as characteristics of God's story, I would say that God, in his redemption of the ebbs and flows, in his restoration of the high moments and low moments, that God is graciously generous. I think of the passage of Scripture in Matthew 13 that talks about God as a generous sower. in which he's sowing the seeds. And the parable starts out this way. Jesus told them many things, saying, listen, a sower went out to sow. And if you know the story, what does the sower do? He throws seed all over the place, on the rocky soil, on the weedy soil, on the walking path, on the grass, anywhere that can receive this generous toss. He just tosses and throws. I think of God and God's story, right? In His love of all things that are going right and love of things that have gone wrong. That God is generously casting His love and mercy. That wherever you find God, you find these open doors of generosity. Where God is just giving and giving. No better place, Sarah, right, than the cross, right? No better place than the cross in which God generously gives all of whom God is to all of the world. I think of the characteristic of presence. In Matthew 28, Jesus is with His disciples. And He sends them in the Great Commission and ends the Great Commission with these words. And remember, I am with you always. If we're thinking about God's story in the grand narrative, God's story is restoring all things with generosity. God is restoring all things with presence. He is here. He is with us. He is Emmanuel, God with you. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you, right? These hallmark things that we can say if we don't know anything else about God's story, we can know that God is generous, casting seed to everywhere and to anything, even in places you wouldn't imagine. Generosity and mercy. Generosity and mercy. Grace and mercy. God just pouring it out of His life, and He's present. With us when our mountaintop moments and with us in our lowest moments. And God is patient. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We hear one of God's covenant promises to His people. Know that the Lord your God, that He is God, and He's faithful to 1,000 generations. He will maintain covenant loyalty to 1,000 generations. That even when, Sarah, your life looks like mine, God patiently waits your redemption. God is patiently present, generously extending His mercy and grace to you. And so, friend, before we quickly try to tell you how this matters to New Beginnings Church, I would tell you for your life, you may find yourself this morning on the low part of that chart. I will tell you, that God doesn't care about the behavior. What God cares is about the life. God cares about you. And He is patient with you in the behavior you find yourself in this morning. And His activity will redeem that behavior. It will restore you. You will be made new in His generous grace and in His patience and in His presence. I would say that this is the gospel. The God who redeems all things, things as they should be and things as they shouldn't be. His patience, presence is for you. Praise be to God. So if we were to chart New Beginning story, because this whole sermon, Jacob, this whole sermon is about, it's okay, it's about New Beginning story. So if we were to chart New Beginning story, Roger, how would we chart it? I would tell you that 25 years ago, if you're new to our community, know this, that we started 25 years ago this past March. 25 years ago, our story started out as one that would look like this chart on your left. We had an expressed goal that we would be a church of 1,000 people, and that we would start with a few families in the corners of Lee Summit, and then after several years, we would be a church of 1,000 people. Our charted goal was to look like this, and that's not a bad goal. This isn't about bad goals and right goals. It's not about that at all. I'll tell you what it's about in a minute. But that was our goal. 25 years later, if we were to tell the truth, Mark, if we were to tell the truth about 25 years of what a lot of us have experienced, does our chart look more like this? Just if we're telling the truth. Of course, we all want this. Next year, we'll be a church of 1,000 people. Okay? We all want this, right? But what are we really? You know, like, hey, in 3 months, I'll be 15 pounds lighter. But in reality, in 15 months or in 3 months, I'll be probably 15 pounds heavier, right? What do we really look like? I would say New Beginnings Church looks more like this. And if we had dates, and some of us know dates, we would put dates like 2008 probably on the low mark. And we would put dates like 2011 on the low mark. And we would put dates like October 2015 on the low mark. And we may put dates like November 2016 on the low mark. I wish our stories were like this. But if we're being honest, and if you've been around, and if this is your first Sunday, those dates don't mean anything to you. But if this is your 400th Sunday, those dates mean a lot to you. And so does God love us or hate us? Where is God in New Beginning story when we don't look like what we set out to be? How will God react to us, church, when we decrease in numbers and we don't increase in numbers? What will our purpose be, church, when we feel like our dates are down here on the low mark, our history down here on the low mark? I will tell you that God is redeeming us. And that for every low mark date I could give you a high mark date as well. And that we are the very active representation of God's redemption. Here we were, a church just a few years ago that couldn't afford to live in a building. We had to sell that building to move to here, and now God is using what? What was once our damnation, a building was once our damnation. Our whole story revolved around how we couldn't be the people of God because of a building. Now we're able to be the people of God because of what? Because of a building! Can you believe it? God is even taking the moments that are mistakes, moments that we would want to eradicate, moments that we would like to erase, moments that we would like to tell the stories that they never existed, but they did exist. And why is it important to embrace those stories at our lowest moment? So we can give testimony to when God redeems us, because God is a redemptive God. And we may not be perfect. We may be like this, but our story, New Beginning story, this very place in which you're sitting in is wrapped up in God's generous presence and patience. He is restoring new beginnings. Oh, praise be to God. He is restoring you and is restoring us. Well, I think it's important for us to tell this story. Any moment, I'm going to blow your minds here. Are you ready? Boom. Any moment, boom. Any moment that we get a chance to tell the story, we need to tell the story. I think with grace and with kindness, we need to tell the story, warts and all. We're not really human if we don't talk about our low moments. And New Beginnings Church, I have high hopes for us that we will be part of high watermark moments here. But we need to embrace the story, all of it. That God loves you even when you are at your lowest moments. And that God loves us even when He's redeeming us to something greater than that. And so we have to tell the story, whether it's personal stories or our church's story. And so the first action in our vision is that we will be people that tell the story. And we've made it possible for you to participate in the story in these four key moments. One is weekly. Every week we gather, Bonnie, we have a chance. It's coming up here in a few minutes. During the offering, instead of the special offertory where someone sings awkwardly, instead of that, we tell stories awkwardly. It's still awkward. We just tell stories instead of singing. And why do we tell stories every week? We have a chance to tell that story of redemption, that God is living out God's redemptive purposes in us here, that God is doing it. So we tell the story weekly. It's also important why annual reports, when we gather as a church and we talk about the story of the last year, that's why that's important. We'll do that again on June 11th at 5:30 p.m. So I encourage you, if you need to, mark your calendars, because I want you to be there. This is when we're going to talk about our story of the last year. Some of it will be, woo, yay, rah. And others of it would be, oh, boy, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. It will just be human, right? And it will be our story, God's redemptive story. June 11th, 5:30 p.m. And then District Assembly. You may not know, but New Beginnings Church is a part of a larger connection, of 90-some churches in the Kansas City area. We gather every year to tell the story of all 90 churches. I think it would be great on the night that we gather for the service that all of us would come together as New Beginnings Church, representing our story, both the good and the bad. Just, we're God's people being redeemed. And we look like real people being redeemed. All right? We look like people that some of us may not be redeemed yet, but you're on the journey towards it. We're welcome, all of you, any shape, size, kind, we welcome you. And then the last one that I'm most excited about. Kelsey Main is helping us organize this. Jenny Edwards is helping organize this. On Saturday, September 30th, and Sunday, October 1st of this fall, we're going to have a 25th anniversary party. And we're going to gather as much of this story as we can. Dan Broughton will be there. He's going to preach for us on October 1st. Shane Ash will be there that week. And together we'll have all of our pastors. Dan, the evangelist, Shane, the prophet, and Jake, the rookie. Okay, we'll just have all of us together. We'll be together. They'll be able to redeem some of my immaturity, hopefully. And we're going to invite as many people that have been a part of our congregation over the 25 years to be a part of us on that weekend. There may be some relationships that show up that weekend that are difficult. That's why we have to start practicing right now that we are people in redemption. None of us are perfect. And what do? We offer generosity, generous grace and mercy to the people, even the people that are most difficult for us to reconcile with, that we offer generosity, that we offer patience, and that we offer presence. In closing, I want to tell you quickly, in closing, tell you three stories where I see those characteristics alive in you. Because the God that is acting out generosity, patience, and presence in the story of Israel, He's doing that same in you. Generosity, like you called people, cold call people. In 1992, you cold called people all over Lee Summit. You didn't know who they were. You were starting a church. You were starting a church in a clubhouse off what road was that? Langsford. Off Langsford Road, you were starting a church in a clubhouse and you called people. You were casting the vision of New Beginnings Church like the generous sower. You called people and you just casted the vision to anyone that would listen. And as people accepted the call, and as people said, yes, I'll be there for launch Sunday, you had what? What did you have? Those that were there, you had something. It rang. It was a cowbell. And every time someone said, hey, I'm coming to church, what did you do, Deb? You went up and you rang the cowbell. Generously casting the vision. We will be people, Cindy. We're probably not going to do the cowbell thing. We already did that. We'll do something else, okay? But I hope that we use our facility and we use our presence to cast a wide net. Friends, listen, you may not be like me, but you are welcome here. You may not be like the person across the aisle, but you are welcome here. We want to cast a large, large net. You have been present. I think about John Courtney, Nathan Miller, Will Chambers, and Tom Burdick. Recently, those four people went to visit Charles Green. Not only did they went to visit Charles Green, but they came to Charles with communion. Four lay people. They can't serve communion. Yes, they can. Of course they can. They came with the gospel of Jesus Christ to Charles Green in the hospital or in a nursing home. And they extended their presence. There are story after story after story of 25 years where you have extended presence. There's more stories in my 1 year here than I have time to give of where you have been generously present and patient. The last one, Bonnie, my goodness, look at you. Look at you. Can you believe you're still here? All that you've been through and you're still here? You're patient people. Marked not by your own will, but God's patience. You're redeeming people, not marked by your own power to redeem, but God's power to redeem through generosity, presence, and patience. Friends, you're taking on the very likeness of Christ. And it looks a lot different than what you imagined. It doesn't look like this. It looks like this. In New Beginnings Church, I would tell you, embrace your story, because your story like this looks just like the Bible's.